Shalom, everyone. That is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, Yahweh. You may be seated. If you can hear me. What a wonderful day. And we welcome Yahweh with joy and gladness. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have a wonderful dinner today. I don't know how this was mispronounced earlier, but but this is a fantastic meal today. It's not just beef tacos. this is very special. It's the beef was prepared, of course, by Yahweh's kosher hands, who guard it very closely. Our own beef, our own taco sauce. We actually make our own taco sauce here out of organic vegetables that we ourselves raise. Our own greens to go on the tacos. And of course, the end of the age cheese, if you haven't tried those yet, or the bologna that they put them in, also the end of the age cheese, they've got bologna that you can get your cheese and bologna in the same, between the same, and our own bread. We bake our own bread at our own bakery now. You can't beat it. That's what Yashub had, if you remember. He had the same setup that we have right now, and of course he had the same problems we had too. And of course the latest fix that with that refried beans with our own cheese, and then corn salad, and they got a sweet cake to go with it. That's they tell me that's really, really great. Get you a pencil and paper. I want to rehearse just a little. Yahweh brought that sermon last week for several reasons, and one, of course, was what the great deacon David Knighton just brought us about the work. And when I was talking to him about it yesterday and asked him to bring this, it would help me out greatly. The work that was going on there, if you got a pencil and paper to write with, if you'll write down Yashub and Jethro. Now, in Genesis 49, if you go back to that prophecy there, and write this down, of course. Genesis 49, where Yaakov is calling together his family and saying to them, I'm going to show you what will take place in the last days. Well, of course, he is showing us what would take place in the last days. Genesis 49. Now, Genesis 49 was written in 1689. You might write that down. 1689 was when this took place. Genesis 49, I'm going to show you what will take place in the last days. And then he shows a prophecy here starting in verse 10 that no one has ever understood except the house of Yahweh in these last days. They didn't understand it. They didn't. The man that said this didn't understand it. No way he could. Yahweh has to reveal these things in their time, and if he revealed them before the time, then Satan would have opportunity to try to block it and of course kill the people before they could even be trained. But he shows the righteous scepter there that I've covered many times before, the ruling staff, the lawgiver, and then he shows the donkeys there and the colts of the donkeys being tied to the branch in the last days. Now, these are the prophecies that are scattered throughout your Holy Scriptures, but that date there, the date this was written was 1689. You got that? Turn over to Exodus now, the 12th chapter, and hope you remember what I brought out about Yashub last week, but I don't want to rehearse it, but maybe you'll want to after today. Maybe you'll want to go back, because it is a beautiful thing what Yahweh shows us here. In Exodus 12 and verse 41, he says, "And at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all Yahweh's division went out from the land of Egypt." On that day, that was BCE 1491. BCE 1491. You probably don't have the dates listed in your book of Yahweh, but the Yashub that I brought to you last week was written and took place in 1520. Write that down over 1491. Yashub, his work, a great work, was taking place in 1520. If you subtract 1491, that's the day that the 450 years was up, and Yahweh said, it's time to bring my people out. 1520, Yashub was work, was going on, and he was suffering somewhat like you're suffering now. Yashub, if you remember what I brought out last week. Now that's 29 years between the time of Yashub. 29 years, that's before now. Yashub was before Exodus. Yashub, before Exodus. 29 years before Exodus. Now, if you think about Jethro, and of course he was waiting to teach Moshe. While Moshe was fighting with Pharaoh in Egypt, Yahweh was training Jethro for the house of Yahweh, to build the house of Yahweh. You got that? He was training Jethro in the house of Yahweh, because the house of Yahweh was there, and the leader of it, the leader of the house of Yahweh, was going through all kinds of hell, as you saw last week, or if you didn't see it, you need to read the whole book and see what Yashub was put through in order to train Jethro to teach Moshe. You got that? 29 years before the Exodus, Yashub was teaching Jethro. He was teaching a huge number of people there. They raised their own beef. They made their own taco sauce. Their women was the best cooks in the world. And we praise them for it. I mean, Yashub praised them for it. Now, Jethro then taught Moshe, if you turn to Exodus 18, and because all of these things had to take place, they had to be planned. As Yahweh says, the plan was in the beginning with Yahweh, and Yahweh is carrying out the plan. That's why you're here, sitting here in the house of Yahweh today. You're part of Yahweh's plan. In Exodus 18, verse 13, he said, "Now the next day Moshe took his seat to judge the people, and the people stood around him from morning until evening. And when Jethro saw all that Moshe was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around from morning until evening?' And Moshe answered Jethro, 'Because the people come to me and inquire of Yahweh. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties, and I do make them know the statutes of Yahweh and his laws.' Moshe's relative by law then said to him, what you are doing is not righteousness." The word there, I don't know why we put the best, but the word there is righteousness. It's not righteousness what you're doing here. So Jethro then taught Moshe the laws, which he never did forget after that. Moshe organized then the kingdom of heaven on earth that would actually bring forth Yahshua. And not that Yahshua would be of that, any of that bloodline that you were seeing there, but he was of this other bloodline that from which Yashub came and Jethro came, and certain of the seed of Abraham who was sincere and actually wanted to do the work of Yahweh and was deeply involved in the work. Now, so when you're doing a job today, you can see it dates back, the plan of that dates back a little further than what you might have anticipated. And the work we're doing today, of course, is for you to teach 2 billion people. Now, we know that about that many is going to be left alive when the nuclear wars come. And, of course, we're seeing right now the nearness of these nuclear wars. In fact, that's the reason I'm pushing to try to prop you up to get your finals in before the final exam. But listen to this article here. This is some of the latest news out, and Yahweh has opened the door to where we can get other nations' news other than the United States, I mean. So you can get both sides of the story this way and put it together. But this one here says, "NATO envoy, military planning against Iran and Syria is underway." The man that wrote the story here, he says, in an interview with Russia's Investa daily newspaper published on Friday, that the NATO was pursuing a long-reaching goal of preparing an attack on Iran. Now, if you got that long-reaching goal, Satan is planning also. And, of course, years ago I brought to your attention what the Pope said about that he regretted the other evil powers forming. I put other in there. He said, "We regret the evil powers that we see forming." Well, this article actually brings that out and shows how they intend to attack, and they are saying in September. So September, this is August. Now they're saying September, and they're also showing in these articles. I don't want to read the whole thing because I got too much to cover here, but they're actually saying this is going to start in September. Wars that won't stop, that they are actually going to involve the whole earth, the wars that are about to take place in September. Now, whether it takes place in September or not, the wars are already on their way. The long-range plan is on its way. You can see the nations being taken over and set up in a great chess game that looks like that's getting ready for the quartet to do its job that has been assigned to it by the Catholic Church according to Revelation 6. And I hope you remember Revelation 6. I hope all of this is in your remembrance. If not, you know, you're falling short, and we really need to go back and get those tapes and listen to them. They are available in our mailing room. If you tell them what tapes you want, even if you don't have the dates or anything like that, if you can tell them what's in it, they can show you the tape and get it for you, and you can sit in the quietness of your home, you know, instead of watching television or sitting around moaning about how you're mistreated by Yahweh. You're not mistreated, you're being trained, you're being strengthened. Yahweh knows the work that you're doing. He knows the work that I'm doing. He knows how determined you are to do this work, how determined you are to become like Yahshua, a slave like Yahshua, a slave like Yahweh. He knows how determined you are. He showed me my limits a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, I've told you that I'd forego using the bathroom because I hated to take the time to get up to go do it. And I would continue working. Well, someone sent me an article and says if you do this, then toxins build up and it can actually get into your brain. And then your brain snaps. And at least one side or the other. Now, when it does this, another side takes over. The brain is very complicated, but this is what they think is taking place. When it does this, given time, the other side of the brain will cut in and take over. We're giving you time to adjust. But you should never go that far, and I've stopped doing that. I decided I wouldn't do it anymore because I don't like the reactions that come with it. The two times that I can remember that I was out of control was a few weeks ago, and then when I had a disaster take place and I couldn't handle it, and then back when I was trying to, I was determined to finish a high school course in a few months, and I was trying to limit myself to 3 hours sleep of a night, and my body wouldn't stand it, and I started hallucinating, and I saw then I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I did it, but it just took a longer time to do so. But you can't punish your body. You know, you've got to take care of your own needs, of course. But you still have time to take care of your needs and do this training also, and the study and listening to these tapes. Worldly stuff, I would recommend you don't even look at it. You can't keep up, praise Yahweh, you can't keep up with the stuff that I'm writing for you. You can't learn it that fast if you don't put in all your spare time in doing so. If you look at the stuff I'm writing for you and the sermons I'm bringing that Yahweh is bringing, this is your teaching. That's the reason this appointment was made with you by Yahweh, is to bring you here and teach you these things. You wouldn't know them, brethren, if he hadn't brought you here and taught you these things. Anyway, last Sabbath I was showing you these things about Yashub the priest and of course at the house of Yahweh in his time of trials where he suffered greatly, just like we have gone through in this time period. He passed every test. And the counselors there were not wicked, you know. The counselors were actually judges that Yethro told Moshe, you need to set up these counselors. You need to set up these judges. You'll kill yourself trying to do all this work by yourself. It won't work. It's not even righteous. It's an evil thing what you're doing to your body. Yashub, Moshe, Israel. But I do have a great love for this work, And it's growing. It grows daily. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of the work. It's just taken over my total life. And if I could, I would write 24 hours a day for you right now. The hardest thing I know in these trials is to establish this foundation that Yahshua talked about. It's a foundation that's based upon, if you remember, it's based upon the prophets, their work that they did for you. That's a work that came from Yahshua, by the way, and from Jethro and Moshe. Moshe, though, had a different thing. Moshe had a physical thing going here where Yahweh proved his power over the gods, fighting the way they fight. But the actual kingdom that brought forth the Savior, of course, was through Samuel and that group of people in Galilee. And, of course, Zebulun, who Yahweh chose out of all those tribes, Zebulun, people out of that tribe of Zebulun, he chose to show them this light. That is his laws and prophecy. That's what the word light means. And every Hebrew scholar knows that's what it means. It means the laws and the prophecies of Yahweh. The greatest light you can find, the greatest knowledge you can find. Well, this foundation, this is what the Savior was speaking of when he said in Luke 24:25, "You're fools if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken." And that's what he taught, was the written words of the prophets. Then the apostles said they spoke as they were moved by this Holy Spirit of Yahweh, Holy Spirit that was taught to them by Abel. Abraham kept them, remember? And then Jethro, Yashub, and coming right down the line to us today. And Yahweh chose before the world began, the apostles said. That's part of the foundation that you're sunk into your head just now. From the prophets, the apostle. The apostle said before the world began, you were chosen to be here at his house. If you think about that, that's a great honor. It's a great honor for you. It's a great opportunity for you. And if you don't pass it, it's your fault. Yahweh says to everyone, whether they break a dog's neck or decide to eat the dog or whatever, they choose their own way. It's the way they choose. You don't choose it for them. They choose it for themselves. Whichever way to go. The prophets actually died rather than give in to doing away with what the prophets had written. The prophets before them. The apostles died. They were murdered and they gave in to giving their lives and they were ready to die rather than to preach a false doctrine that the Pharisees was putting out at that time. Changing the name, that went way back to the days of Yeremia, remember? They took the name Yahweh out, Yeremia the 23rd chapter, where they brought the Sodomites that now govern the seven hills of Rome, the Sodomites, as is shown in Yeremia 23, their same teaching identifies them as the Vatican in Rome that sits on seven hills. Their teaching, sodomy is one, worshiping the rabbis whom they call Lord, the Lord, and lords. That's a number two teaching. Number three is they do away with the written instructions of the prophets. Instead of believing and following the written instructions, as Yahshua said, they do away with them and said, no, you do what we tell you today. Don't follow these written instructions. Don't call upon the name Yahweh. Throughout history, we see a fight against Yahweh, starting with Cain. So it shouldn't be any surprise to you if you've read the history of the Crusades, if you've read what took place now in the United States, Oklahoma, where they killed off Yahweh worshipers that had come here before Columbus, long before Columbus, and they used the name Yahweh and they did away with them. They set up schools for them so they could re-educate them. Those schools are still in existence today. And guess who's in charge of the schools? Well, of course, I'll read you an article here in just a little bit about it, but that'll help you to see. But you should know all of this by now, and you should know that the Catholic Church, of course, is in charge of what goes on, what is taught in the schools. That's the reason they fought against the creation issue rather than Darwin's theory of evolution. But our foundation is not Darwin. Our foundation is not the Pope. Our foundation is the written word of the prophets and the apostles and Yeshua, who gave instruction to the apostles and gave example of how to keep the Sabbath day, perfect example of how to keep the Sabbath day. That is our foundation. But believing it, that's the hardest thing. We'll believe it for a while, and then someone will say, well, consider this. Like Satan said, has Yahweh said this? Did you see where Israel said this? Well, consider this interpretation now. Well, of course, I don't interpret Scripture. I learned a long time ago when dealing with my mother and dad and studying the Scriptures, you don't interpret Scripture. You let Scripture interpret Scripture, and then you won't be making mistakes in your studies. The foundation, your foundation, turn over to Ephesians, because this is what the apostles wrote, Ephesians. And without the work of the apostles, you only have about half or maybe three quarters. But in Ephesians, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Now, I'm speaking of their teaching, their explanations. They're the ones that tell us that the prophets of Yahweh, not the prophets of Baal, Yahweh shut off the light from them, as is shown by the prophets of Yahweh. He shut off the light from the prophets of Jerusalem because they brought profaneness. They were bringing profaneness to the people and causing them to go wrong. They're the ones that divided this kingdom that Moshe set up. They divided it. They started fighting among each other and forming religions. Each one would form a religion. They couldn't go to Jerusalem, or they would be worshiping there and giving their tithe to Jerusalem. So each kingdom they would set up out of these 12 tribes, they would also set up a religion, and they would appoint priests. And of course, the generation coming up, they wouldn't know about what had taken place before and who was actually had a plan of salvation and the gods that they were fighting against and Satan, who is trying to deceive. They wouldn't know this because they had their own religion. So in the Pharisees alone and Sadducees and Essenes, they bickered among themselves. One of them believed in a resurrection, and that's what they taught. The others didn't believe in a resurrection. They believed in the eternal soul. You never die, and so forth. Well, here we have the foundation now of the apostles. He says in verse 20, Ephesians 2, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The written words of the prophets and the prophets of Yahweh now. And there's a difference in the prophets of Yahweh and the prophets of Jerusalem and Judah. There's a difference. The prophets of Jerusalem shown in Jeremiah or Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter and verse 15, they were Sodomites. And they brought forth iniquity, profaneness, evil, adultery, sexual lust, the fulfillment of sexual lust to all of Israel, all the 12 tribes. And of course, some objected to this, and they said, at that time, they said, this is not what the prophet Samuel taught. This is not what Abel taught. This is not the answers you get at Abel. So they split off. Well, of course, when they split off, they formed their own religion. So they had a little bit of this. One said, well, we should call upon the name. So they called themselves the Assemblies of Yahweh or something. Others called themselves Yahweh this or Yahweh that, but they split. The thing is, they had a religion that led them, and they all thought they were going to have eternal life. Whereas they would have had to followed the ones that saw the light to have had eternal life. These will not have eternal life unless they prove themselves true after the millennium. That's when they will be resurrected. All of those who went wrong will be resurrected. Those who were tried at that time, of course, will be given the death sentence. Those who were not called and tried at that time will be given 100 years to try them. That's your job, your future job. You're going to bring that about. And you're going to try those people like Yahweh is trying you right now. And if they say they want Yahweh's way, you're going to give them the test. That's right. You're going to give them the same test that you had. And you're going to tell them like I tell you, buckle up. You're a strong woman. You're a strong man. You can handle this thing and prove yourself to Yahweh. Go the other way and you'll prove yourself to Yahweh too. You'll prove you can't be trusted. Yet you love man or woman more than Yahweh. Well, man or woman's not going to live too long, but Yahweh is forever, and His ways and His positions are forever. Well, this is the foundation now that I'm talking about. It's the written words of the prophets of Yahweh, not the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal are many. The prophets of Yahweh, as Amosha shows you, are prophets of Yahweh are prophesied by the prophets before. So there was no way you could make a mistake in who was actually prophesied to have the light or salvation. Zebulun, the great prophet Isaiah said, Zebulun is the one that is going to have the light of the true Savior. There was many Saviors came before Yeshua. There's many Saviors still coming. In 1982, the guide told us that one rode into probably did, got off at ACU, but rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. I said, just one? Yeah. Well, what, there's supposed to be two. No, I didn't say that. I said, did you hang him on a tree? He said, no, he left before we had time. That's what I actually said. But anyway, today I would ask him, well, did he not ride two donkeys? He's supposed to ride two, a donkey and the colt of the donkey. And to this, the scholars say, this is absurd. Why would he ride two donkeys? To fulfill the prophecy, dummy. That's why. Believe. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Believe. If you look, he had to ride two donkeys. That's what he did. A donkey in a donkey's coat. And they have to be tied in these last days to the branch. So all of it is prophesied in advance. That's the foundation Yahweh gives you. Prophecy in advance by Yahweh's prophets, the prophets of Yahweh. And each prophet would tell that and tell where the work was going to be next and so forth. This mistranslation of the three wise men who saw the light. Well, they did see the light. They knew where Yahshua and when he was going to be born. And of course, Daniel gave them that light at that time, coming from the great tribe of Zebulun, gave them that great light so they would know, and they came to inquire, where is he? We know he's born. We know it's time. And where is he? His name is Yahshua. So they knew this. They knew all of this. And of course, Satan went to seek him to kill him, if you remember. But Yahweh hid him safely away in Egypt. In Egypt. Okay, therefore, now you are no longer strangers, that is, strangers to the covenant that he will write in your heart and in your mind, the laws of Yahweh. This is the covenant. That's Hebrews, written by the prophets too, in chapter 10. This is the covenant I'm going to renew with my house. They're going to keep Sunday and Christmas and Halloween and all these. Is that what it said? No, that's the prophets of Baal that's going to do that. The prophets that worship Lord, they're going to keep December the 25th as the birthday of their famous sun god who was worshipped in Egypt. These same prophets came out of Egypt, Yahweh told Samuel, and they've been bringing this crap with them all the way and been trying to teach it to the children of Israel ever since they've been here. That's given to you in 1 Samuel 7 and 8, which shows Easter and a few other pagan holidays that are still pushed by Rome, the Vatican, and all of Christianity today. They brought this out of Egypt. These were the dead pharaohs that became gods. They later called them rabbis that became gods. Well, here he says this now, therefore you are no longer strangers to the covenant of Yahweh. You've been taught the laws of Yahweh, so you're no longer strangers to Yahweh anymore, but fellow citizens with the saints. The saints are those, if you read the letters, I have a letter explaining in detail what a saint is. I've also brought it out in sermons, but I put it in a letter where you can study it slowly with the scriptures and see exactly what your King James Version even says it. If that's all you got, it says it. You can find these things even in the King James Version. But it shows you what a saint is. And your fellow citizens with these saints, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abel, and so forth, Yashub, and members of the house of Yahweh. You're actually a member now of the house of Yahweh. That's what Yashub was. And he was being tried. Tried because he was teaching people who were going to carry on the work of Yahweh. And finally, Yahweh showed all the people then why he tested Yashub. It was for their sake. It wasn't because he thought Yashub would fail. He knew he wouldn't. He says he's an honest, upright, perfect man. He lives by my laws. He reverences Yahweh. And he lets Satan do her work in order to prove to these people. Yashub was strong. He would not give in. And his pupils had to be the same way. And those pupils were. And they came forth in the tribe of Zebulun, and they were punished. They were tried and tested. And Yahshua himself was tried and tested to the fullest, even to death. If you think what he went through before being judged guilty, arrested, he became a jailbird. His name was spread as evil throughout the land. But that didn't help. That didn't turn the people. The people knew that he had fulfilled this prophecy. They knew he was prophesied to die and how he was prophesied to die. And those words, they spread. And this is what the Catholic Church has been fighting all this time. They spread throughout the world, mouth to mouth. No, the Catholic Church does not. They're not teaching the prophecies true. They're not teaching the law. They've substituted the laws, just like Jeremiah. Well, of course, all this word, see, that's written by the prophets, it was spreading. That's the reason that the popes were trying to destroy the Bible, the writings of the prophets. That's the reason Satan was inspiring the popes to try to destroy the writings, and they had great book burnings. And they killed thousands, or this history is saying now they killed trillions of people. Trillions. I can't get past a million in my mind for some reason. If I think I got a million down in my mind. But trillions. Trillions. I still can't get that in my mind. But they're saying not just a trillion, but trillions now. They've killed trillions of people who was trying to hang on to something, some kind of holiness. Maybe it was just wearing the veil like they're doing today. They're trying now to get rid of that. This veil that they don't want anyone to wear the veil. And they're passing laws now in the nations. They're taking over nations and they're passing laws and they'll say, get rid of your veils. Come on and let's commit adultery, fornication. Follow your lust. That's what the Catholic Church is teaching. Not everybody's swallowing it, and I'll show you in just a little bit here. But look at verse 20. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone. That is our example. He's our shining example, as the book of Hebrews showed. Verse 21. In whom the whole house being fitly joined together by Yahweh in unity grows into the holy house of Yahweh. I've got a letter now coming about holiness. You really need to read these letters. You need to read the Prophetic Word magazine. You can get it online. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to get it in print, but we're going to change that. We're going to get this ball to rolling, and we're going to get it on time from now on. But you can get it online really early. If you want to go online and print it out or read it for yourself. If you look at verse 20 again, notice that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone. Now turn over, hold your place right there and turn to 2 Timothy, because Christians try to use certain scriptures to make out like the laws is done away with, and you're walking around in the spirit. Spirit, that's the flies up here on the ceiling, they're like this and they're looking at all those flies. That's worshiping in spirit. There's one right there. See? and then they got this beads they wear around their neck, and they got a name of a dead rabbi for each one of these dead beads. And they have a little saying that they do this. Now you count the flies on the wall while you're doing this, of course. Keep looking up and counting these and repeating the names of these dead rabbis, because they'll answer your prayers, they say. Well, the dead know not anything, so how they could get a prayer answered from the dead, I don't know. I do know they can't. But 2 Timothy now. Ephesians 2:20, but not everybody's falling for that nonsense. See, there's actually some that are reading the holy writings of the apostles and prophets. But remember what Ephesians 2:20 says. You're built upon this foundation of the prophets, of the apostles and prophets, with Yahshua being the chief cornerstone. Here's the second witness to this. In 2 Timothy 1, I think it's 2 Timothy 1, it may be 2. 2 Timothy 2, yeah, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation, see, you're built upon the foundation. Well, now you could interpret that foundation to be the spirit, the fly, up here on the ceiling, the bead, the dead bead that has the dead rabbi's name on it, or the dust on the floor, if that's what you want to interpret it. You can put any of your interpretations that you want to on this, or you can turn and let a prophet or an apostle interpret it for you, taking their foundation inspired by Yahweh, who never ever got away from the teachings of Abel. They never ever deterred from that. And you can rest assured when somebody is not teaching what was taught by Abel, which is do righteousness and you will be accepted. You will be acceptable. But you won't be acceptable if you don't do righteousness. You won't be acceptable for my kingdom. My kingdom is going to bring forth peace, joy, love, all these things. You don't get it in the ways of the world. You don't get it by breaking the laws. You don't get it by committing adultery, fornication, bestiality, or sodomy. All of these things bring sickness, disease, and they're called sin in your Bible. Well, here remember, you're the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, 2 Timothy says, 2 verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure. Well, what is it? Read it for yourself there. 2 Timothy 2:19. And it has this seal. It can't be changed. It's sealed by Yahweh. It has this seal. You can't break that seal. When Yahweh puts a seal on something, look at the way he did with the prophet Daniel. He said, no, the rest of the prophecies are sealed until the time of the end. Well, here's the scholars that are struggling over these prophecies. And they have all kinds of interpretations, but the scripture proves each one of them untrue. Because Yahweh had them sealed. What we brought out, what the house of Yahweh brought out, is the work of the prophets and the work of the apostles. They're the ones that tell you what the scriptures mean and who it represents and who to look for, where to look for it. What do you be wearing? What do you be teaching? same thing that Abel taught. But you see that? Here's your foundation. No, it's not worshiping in spirit, counting flies on the ceiling. That's not what worshiping in spirit means. It means keeping the holy laws of Yahweh. Now, verse 22, back to Ephesians here, in verse 22. And in him you are also being built together to become the house of Yahweh through the Spirit. Through the Spirit, go back to Yochanan. Hold your place in Ephesians, don't lose it. Turn back to Yochanan 6, in spirit. You want to interpret that word spirit as a fly on a wall? That's to your condemnation. Your best bet is to let Yahshua, who is the chief cornerstone, tell you what it is. And he tells you what it is in chapter 6 of Yochanan, or John, if you have a King James Version. It is the Spirit that gives life. Oh, that fly on the wall, there he is. Well, pray to him and see if you'll have life. See if you can get him to heal you. See if you can get him to strengthen you or comfort you in any way. He doesn't answer prayers, he'll fly away, especially if he sees the fly swatter. I got the fly swatter, the big one, right here. This is it. You can interpret that however you want to. Okay, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the spirit, go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians 2 verse 22. And in him you are also built together to become the house of Yahweh through the laws that Yahshua spoke unto you. One more on that. Look to Romans 7. Acts Romans 7. Now this was Shaul's letter, who was a Roman, wrote to the Romans, showing them how Israel had fallen. And of course, they were in Rome. They owned Rome. As I've brought out many times to you already, in Romans 7, and look at verse 12. The laws that make you holy, they are holy. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments are holy, and they are just and righteous. Now, if you practice them, they will make you righteous, as 1 Yochanan or 1 John 3, 7, and 8 says. Now, don't forget, you can teach this foundation. You can't teach. Let's go back over to Amosha now. But don't forget now, who can teach this foundation? Amosha 3. You won't find it on the seven hills of Rome. Why? Because prophecy shows you where to find it. Yes, prophecy. And Yahweh says in Amosha, chapter 3, verse 7, he says, most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. So Yahshua says, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets wrote Genesis 49, showing what would take place in the last day. And the work. They also showed the Savior there coming riding two donkeys. There's been false saviors all along. And Yahshua said, they're all liars. They're all false. All who came before me are false, he said. They didn't fulfill the prophecies. Now, he says in verse 8, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? Father Yahweh has spoken, but who can prophesy this? Who can teach this? Who can teach the foundation of the prophets and the apostles? There's no way, I can tell you, there is no way. I've read the commentator's work. I've read just about everything that is put out. And I haven't found anyone who could understand the prophecies. And this was something that I had a craving for. And I told you, I thought I'd find the answer in college. And come to find out, I knew more than they did when I came there. And I actually tried teaching them when I came while I was going to college. I was trying to teach my teachers, and they wouldn't have it, of course. But some would latch on, some did latch on to the name that came away from there. And of course, there's like J.R. Church, you know, we showed him the name. And he started using it, and then his something occurred, and then he started putting Yahweh God. Armstrong, who came from the same college, he started using the name. His tithe dropped in half, and he dropped it. But he knew enough about the word Lord and God that he didn't go back to that. He started using the word eternal instead. But any time that someone uses the name Yahweh, there's an automatic hatred that Satan has placed in the hearts of the people who Yahweh is not calling, and that hatred builds up, and there's a suspicion that goes with it, But they start trying to force you out. And of course, that's the history of the United States. We have that right here in the United States. We had it in Europe long before that. In all the East countries, we had it. And of course, they're saying now that the influence from the West in the last 20 years, now this, they're saying this themselves, and they said it. The last 20 years, the influence from the West was bringing the word Yahweh and His laws over here in our countries and causing intelligent people to leave the Catholic Church. I got an article. I intended to read it to you, but I'm out of time. But we'll get it next week, Yahweh willing. But notice who can publish this. Yahweh shows you who can publish it. And He'll have no work. He'll have no work unless it's prophesied. So you've got to find the prophesied one, to explain it. If you would go back and start reading these writings, and you'll see they make sense. It's not a bunch of make-believe, and it's not a joke. You can actually find it interpreted in the Holy Scriptures. Everything that Yahweh shows, every work He shows, it's interpreted right there. Well, in Isaiah 44, we'll get that before we close, but Isaiah shows you and actually tells you who can. Here's Amosha asking the question, who can? Who can prophesy this? Yahweh took the light away from, He took everything away from Israel, from Judah and Jerusalem, the staff, the ruling scepter. He took it away from them because they brought forth profaneness, sodomy, bestiality, fornication and adultery. Well, here in Isaiah 44, He shows you two witnesses, of course. And in 43 and verse 28, He shows you that one's going to die. The other, like Yashub, is going to suffer reproach. It was a great surprise and a great letdown when I became a jailbird because I was arrested for teaching Yahweh's way. I was arrested because the name went up, House of Yahweh. That's when it started. We were drug into court that was trying to find something to run us out of this country. And finally I was arrested for it, put in jail. And people went into shock. And they ran. Well, that man was thrown in jail. Look what he's charged with. He's worse than Al Capone, the DA said. Why would that surprise you? This should encourage you more and more. Every prophet, every apostle was arrested. Many of them were killed. Yeshua was arrested and murdered. And you're told, I am going to suffer reproach. And then He even gives you examples through Yashub, who gives you the details of this. Of these things that Yahweh allows to be laid upon the leaders who teach. We got the greatest people on earth sitting here with the greatest job ahead of them ever that's going to have 2 billion people to teach and guide and judge. And that's you. You think we're too small for that? We're not. Remember the story where Yahweh said, this is too many. I don't want this many. Remember that? And He said, He went to separating them. Take all out that do this. Take all out that do this. Finally, He said, just take the ones that lap like a dog when they drink water. Well, how few people would lap like a dog to drink water? And He said, yeah, that's enough right there. Just a handful. That's all I need. And He defeated armies. You can do the same thing, brethren, and you're going to do it. You're going to be the ones that teach and organize. Now, you're going to teach them first. Praise Yahweh. You're going to teach this 2 billion people first. You're going to set up municipalities. You're going to set up cities, governments to govern this whole thing with true, just judges. Then you're going to be watching those true, just judges and make sure that they are true and just, and you're going to test them, maybe afflict them or whatever, to test them to see if they really will. How are you going to know they'll be true forever if you don't? You wouldn't. And that's what Yahweh is doing to you. He has the greatest job ever offered to mankind. The greatest job, much greater than they will never even think about Moshe coming out of Egypt again once they hear what you've done in the great nuclear age, and that is actually spoken. Yahweh inspired it to be written. Y'all remember that scripture? You do, don't you? Written by the apostles and prophets. No longer will they say, the great father Yahweh lives who brought out the children of Israel out of Egypt, but in these last days took 2 billion people out of this world, and they all served him joyfully with, remember these, the palm branches and so forth? That's what it says. That's your job for these last days. That's what you're training for. That's what you're being tried and tested for. I know you failed last week. I didn't expect you to do it last week. I said by the 27th of August. Now keep this in mind and don't forget it, what you're training for now. Don't forget the great job that Yahweh is training you for. He did Yashub the same way. And look at Yashub, what he did. Yashub was the foundation there for a while of the great testing and trials, and could come through the trials. That's what I want them to say about you. Even the small children, I want it written in history. Yes, that child stood up for Yahweh. He called somebody a pervert. That woman gave up her children. That man had to give up his whole family. Blessed, Yahshua said, who's our foundation, the cornerstone, the foundation cornerstone. Yahshua said, blessed are you, blessed are all of those who give up this or that. Lands, people, brother, sister, father, and mother. And then he said, who is my father and my mother? Who is my brothers and sisters? Here, right here, in the house. There you are. Take joy in your brothers and sisters and help us all. Help us all through this. Try to be a help to all of us. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you, brothers and sisters.